Wow. Well, welcome back to Alien Chariot of the Gods. It has been a little while, so let's just dig right in. We have our pilot and de facto captain, Leia Davis. They are currently in the med bay with everyone else is down on deck C. John J. Wilson is currently in the gantry area, kind of where the cargo operations are. And there's all these chains and things that extend down to deck D below. And then Carl and Lyran, they've just been repairing the reactor. They've gotten the door shut and the creature, I believe, was destroyed there in the that they encountered in the reactor room. So why don't we bring the camera to Leia in the med bay?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Leia.
Just thinking back on what I've seen in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, you found a surgical pod, a med pod, and inside you briefly opened it up and saw some sort of bulbous-headed creature that seems to be possibly a corpse. But if I believe you looked at it and went, oh, it, and then shut it immediately.
And I've got a sneaking suspicion it's quite similar to the one that my comrades just fought off on the deck below, which is a bit concerning. Might leave it in the pod, to be honest. Yeah, so I think Leia's not seeing any other sort of pressing stuff. They've found the sort of jars of goo and mold that are of interest. They've also kind of checked out the med pods. They've got the new suit now, so I think it's kind of time for them to regroup with the rest of the team and see what ridiculousness is going on, because they are quite concerned about Carl and Lyran having to fight off an alien. I think next up, if I remember correctly, they were going to head along to the bridge, also on the same deck, deck B. So that is next up in their sights.
Awesome. Just as a reminder for the players, your suits have a heads-up display available that can project a map of all the decks, right? So you can see everywhere that you need to go. And you are able to see that the bridge is on deck B. The med lab is very aft, and the bridge, of course, is at the very front of the ship. So you're going to head out into the hall and start heading towards the bridge, I assume? Yes?
Yeah, I'm going to go via the med lab and into the little corridor there and sort of head upwards.
Okay.
Just no more fucking mold.
While there is a series of airlock doors, there is a long hallway that will run the length of the ship that you could take. As you go out into the hallway and you do turn to head towards the front of the ship, you feel like a bit of a shimmer going through the floor decking, and the whole ship has a little bit of a shake going on, and you start hearing a whine, some sort of echoing noise that is kind of reverberating through the whole ship. Also, while the ship has been on emergency power and there's just been these very dim lights right at the floor deck, extra lighting is starting to pop on. So it's flickering and starting to come on. And so things are starting very slowly, maybe now at about, 15 to 20% illumination, starting to light up on the ship. But there's this rumble that whines and echoes from the ship. And it almost feels like it's going from aft all the way to forward as it just kind of rumbles through the ship. And as it goes through that, there's some kind of other scream kind of folded under that sound that is quite chilling for you. Please gain one stress.
Uh-oh. Okay. So I'm now on 5 stress, and Leah kind of radios in to their colleagues and says, "Is anyone else hearing a really fucking bone-curdling screaming sound? Is that just me?"
Everyone is feeling the ship rumble and hearing a whine that kind of starts from aft and starts to kind of, almost cascade forward. But as far as an underlying scream, it doesn't seem like it now.
All I can hear at the moment is the ringing in my ears. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted at the moment. I'll engage with you and catch up shortly. Please hold that thought.
Looking forward to our tete-a-tete.
We've managed to get Reata back online. At least I hope so. If he gets to the bridge, maybe you can give us an update on what the status says.
Alright, as long as whatever's screaming doesn't fucking eviscerate me first. That alien you were fighting downstairs, was it screaming at all?
Oh, it screamed quite a lot, yes.
Shit.
Did I hear that you're regrouping at the bridge now?
Well, I'm going to the bridge if I can fucking make it.
Right. I'll see you there.
Great. Look, are you done with the reactor downstairs? Like, is it all right? Do you come upstairs and give me some backup? Because if one of these fucking things is there, I'm not fancying my chances. I feel like shit.
You go, Cham, if you want. I can run diagnostics from here. And I'm going to sort of step over the corpse of this creature over to that control panel I think you mentioned, John, and start trying to see if there's anything I can gauge from this station.
Okay, give me a contact.
Wow, okay, I got 2 successes.
Awesome. So, yes, you can see that the reactor is coming back online, and it seems that a lot of systems are automatically queuing up online. One that catches your eye is that you can see that cryogenics is coming up.
And is there anything I can gauge about this screaming sound that Leia heard?
It seems to you that what you heard, because you all heard it, is just the stress and contortion of this old ship finally kind of warming up after decades of being cold. You also see a red light on that panel for the environmentals.
Right. Seems that everything's going pretty well. I've got a red light here. This is it's a problem with environmentals. I can't seem to get any more detail from down here. So, Leia, if you can get to the bridge quickly and find out what the fuck's going on.
I will do, but I would like some backup if possible. Cham, you up for it?
Yes, I'll come right up. I just need to check something with Carl first. I think my plasma cutter's playing up.
All right, keep me posted.
And I think then I'm going to switch off my radio and talk to Carl.
Hey, what's up?
Carl, how long have we been working together?
It's been a damn long time, chap.
Well, I want to say this now, just because of something that Wilson mentioned. And I would like it very much if you didn't punch me in the face. Just to get that out now, if that's all right.
Carl will turn the whole way around, because he's sort of been facing the this console, and now turn the whole way around and face you. All right, what's wrong?
So, anything that Weyland Yutani is going to pay you for that, and I'm going to point to the alien, I'm going to pay you double.
What do you mean you're going to pay me double?
I'm saying, I don't work for Weyland, and it would be really useful as the only person I trust on this bloody ship if you listened to me very close right now. I will pay you double whatever Weyland Yutani is going to give you for that. Dead, not alive.
Right, what do you mean you don't work for Weyland Yutani? Who the hell do you work for?
That I can't tell you right now. Just in case things go tits up, I don't want you to get into trouble. It's better, the less you know, the better. Just know, you'll be rolling in it, I guarantee. But I need you to make sure that Wilson doesn't get that to Weyland first.
And then sort of Carl will glance down to the shotgun he's carrying. What do you have in mind?
I'm not saying that we do anything dastardly. I'm just saying that if we want to point this ship in a certain direction, we point it away from a Weyland Yutani base and towards a base that I'm more familiar with. And if our friend Wilson gets a little bit unhappy about it, well, we can always stick him in an escape pod. If there are any left.
Right, well, I don't think we'll be able to pull the... I don't think we'll be able to trick Leia. Any direction this ship is going, they're going to know where it is.
Do you trust them?
I've known Leia for a long time. If I can't trust them, then I can't trust anyone. I say we bring him on board.
Then I think that we let them know, but we don't let Wilson know anything.
Agreed.
In which case, I'll try to get to the bridge first. Get to them before, you know, Wilson does.
That shouldn't be a problem. I think he's down below. Right, let's go.
So, Wilson, after hearing from the group commenting and that Leia was heading for the bridge, you said you were going to join them.
Yeah, I'll double back and head up the nearest stairwell up to Deck B and cut across the bridge from there.
Excellent. Well, due to the distance that each of you have to travel, Leia, you're going to arrive to the bridge only moments before Wilson joins you.
Cool.
So as you enter the bridge looks as if it has been, because it has been, the scene of a fire decades ago. You can see this bridge has, at the time, what was cutting-edge technology. There was a holographic table display, kind of centrally located on this upper deck. And then there's like a lower, kind of forward and lower area, which is the command center. And then there's two pilot stations as well. The holodeck is just utterly destroyed. You can see that there was a fire there at some point. And not only is that holodeck kind of partially slagged and evidence of burning, but also the ceiling above it is all scorched and everything. You know, the ceiling is low enough in places for easy reach up to flick switches and do diodes and whatnot on the ceiling as well. But then the forward command deck station and also the two pilot seats, it's almost just walls of glass. You know, you've got, you know, fantastic visibility of space if it wasn't for the fact that all the blast shields have been shut. So there's no visibility of space right now because of that. But yeah, this place looks like it was a scene of some kind of something chaotic went on years and years ago. In fact, one of the pilot stations is busted up and there's still a fire axe embedded in the in the deck of that station, you know, with the handle just kind of sticking and jutting up out of it. So things are looking grim in here, but you do see a couple of the stations are, as you know, things are kind of starting to illuminate more and more. You do see two stations are starting to kind of warm up as lights and you know, the buttons themselves are illuminated as they're starting to kind of warm up and glow with life. So just as you get that initial kind of panoramic look of the room, Wilson enters and joins you.
Oh, great. John, just in time to join me. I was just admiring our beautiful environment. Yes. A half-destructed ship feels just like home.
Yes. How much of this is working?
Well, looks like we've got a little bit of life at the front here.
Good, good. So you think you can still fly it, even with all the fire damage?
We shall see, John. You've got to give me a little bit of room to work my magic.
Of course, Captain. Of course.
I think that Leah's going to initially go over to the command station on the bridge and to see what's going on there. They're also quite interested in this axe. It's like, how embedded would you say it is?
Just a bit of a wiggle. We'll get it out, I'm sure. Give me a piloting role to just use those piloting skills for your assessment of the state of affairs up here.
Okay. I think as we ascertained, I'm back to my normal agility now. Oh, this is going to be a shit ton of dice. Right. Okay.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So one success on 13 dice. Lucky number 13.
And also one on one of your stress dice.
Yes, oh. So that's one panic.
All right. Roll 1d6 and add your current stress level.
Okay.
Which is, what is your current stress level? 5?
Yeah.
So 1d6 plus 5.
Uh-oh. So that's 6.
Oh, wow, you rolled great then. You know, it's a stressful situation, but you're keeping it together, so you're okay. You have ascertained after kind of inspecting this, you know, again, this ship has two piloting stations, but it's kind of redundant, right? It's kind of like a pilot co-pilot situation. But if push came to shove, you really only need one. The axe is buried in pilot station one. Pilot station two is just, the console is just simply dark. Unlike the some of the other, couple of the other consoles are kind of lighting up. That one is just dark with no apparent reason. Doesn't have an axe in it like the other one. But you went down to the command station. The command station is separate from the pilot station, and that command station is a good place to kind of get an overall status kind of thing. And so from there, you were able to figure out that while pilot station two is currently down, with a couple of hours of repair work, you could get it back up and running again. But you have also seen, while you were at that command center, environmentals are redlining right now. So now that oxygen is attempting to be pumped, it is not filtering. And so you're seeing a red line on the filtration system for the oxygen. And that was the environmental control portion. That's the red light for environmentals. And you are also seeing a indicator that the cryogenics are basically shutting down. They're warming up, and that the crew members are being awoken.
Wouldn't take your suits off yet, anyone, because apparently environmentals are currently redlining, which isn't great. And also, cryogenics seem to be shutting down, which means if there is anyone or anything in any of those, someone might be waking up into a room full of mold.
All right, well, one problem at a time, Captain. First of all, let's go back to what you just said about life support. What will it take to actually ensure life support functions enough to, I don't know, keep us all alive?
Oh, that's a very good question there, John.
Yes, and one I'd like to think that you've got a vested interest in as well.
I mean, you guys work in space, so this is information that you would have. You would have gotten the readout from the command center console. So the air scrubbers are compromised. It is your professional opinion that the scrubbers need to be manually cleaned, right? You just need to get in there and clear out any of the gunk and junk and whatever's been building up in those scrubbers. And just, you know, it's a filtration system, right? You got to get those filters cleared out and operational again. And that should do the trick. That should allow for clean, recycled air to move throughout the ship.
Well, Captain, I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but...
Of course you don't, John.
If I were in your position, I would probably ask Ryan Cham to go and deal with those scrubs at once and get them functional, because from my layman's point of view, it does seem a bit like if we don't do that, we're all going to die and every other problem becomes academic. But you're the captain, you're in charge, it's your decision to make.
That's a very keen insight you got there, John. If you let me get a word in fucking edgeways, I would have said the same fucking thing.
Good. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Oh, lovely. They're amazing.
And I have a very vested interest in my continuing to breathe, John. That is true.
Good.
And they...
Good.
Okay, they are going to go on the communication lines.
I think somebody's going to have to go scrub the air scrubbers, unfortunately. No one's favourite job. But Cham, I know that you're usually a bit of a champion around these kind of things. Would you mind giving them a little look over? It's kind of a bit of a life or death situation.
I assume that as a roughneck, I would know how to do this general maintenance type thing. How would I go about cleaning air scrubbers?
Seems to be on deck C. There's an air scrubber shaft.
Okay, so we're already
There's one on deck B as well. Oh, and hang on, and on deck A. There's an air scrubber shaft that goes the length of the ship.
I guess
it's in there.
Is it a long process?
Oh no, and there's like air ducts to get into it.
Okay.
Where are the
air ducts?
You'll be fine.
Where are the air ducts? How do I get Okay, where's the closest air duct, guys, to get into these scrubbers?
You are correct. As you look at the maps on your suits, you can see there's a large vertical shaft labeled air scrubber shaft. And at each deck level, A, B, and C, there is a duct port that you can crawl through to get into the air scrubber shaft. There are other air ducts that also feed into the scrubber shaft that don't really show up on the map. The map is just showing the primary air ducts, but there are lots of air ducts that come and feed into this because this is the primary air shaft where everything's recycled. The science with this is that at the bottom of the air shaft is a pool of water that would be heated. And so ideally, this air shaft, when it's in full working order, is a steam bath, right? There's just heated air and steam all throughout this that then gets pumped throughout the ship and can be cooled or reheated and as needed. But with a ship that's this old, as Roughnecks, you realize that air shaft is probably an iceberg. It's the pool at the bottom is probably completely frozen, and everything in that shaft is probably just crystallized and icy. So you're going to have to get in there, and there's going to be air scrubbers all throughout the length of this thing vertically. It will be equipped with maintenance ladders. I mean, that's just a given. So you'll have to be climbing these ladders three decks worth and just get in there with some elbow grease and just kind of and clean these scrubbers off. And it's going to take probably hours to do so.
Is there not a more MacGyver way that we might be able to do this? Let's say, for instance, we dropped a really, really hot thing down the shaft. Would that maybe solve our problems?
Hard to say. Maybe if you had a drone that could just, shoot a blowtorch at each one of these, maybe, but you just drop something hot, it'll just pass by each of the air scrubbers.
I've got a plasma torch. Would that make it quicker?
It might damage it. So, darn it. Yeah, you want to there's that fine level between heat that will be helpful and heat that will be damaging.
Right, this is going to take absolutely hours. This isn't... We can get started on it if that's what you want us to do, Leah, but can we not survive off suit air for now?
Leah's thinking. I mean, would they be able to work out if they got the three people other than them in the ship to do one floor each, how long that would take?
Yeah, probably 2 hours. If you had three people in there, each taking a level, it might be doable in 2 hours.
And then I could be up on the bridge overlooking it all. So, Carl and Lyran, I know this isn't the ideal situation, but if you wouldn't mind taking on one of the air scrubber shaft bits each, that would be grand. And John, seeming as you like to do everyone else's jobs around here, how about you take the one on deck A, love?
That is very creative thought on your part, Captain, and I do admire it, but...
Leadership, I would
you
say.
You have to understand. Indeed, but on the other hand, a good leader also knows the skills and the strengths of the people at their disposal. And sadly, I have no technical training, and I fear that in a situation like that, I would be more of a liability and would risk damaging our air supply. So I must regretfully decline your invitation and concentrate more on matters of management. But I do, as I said, appreciate the creative thinking on your part, and I shall make a note of it for my report back to Wen and you to Annie.
You know what? Three people don't need managing. That air shaft needs fucking scrubbing.
The entire Kronos shudders as everyone can feel some kind of explosion has occurred somewhere.
Jesus Christ!
So somehow I don't think that the air is really going to be the top of our problems right now. I think we might be on fire.
Leah looks straight towards the command center to see if any information's come up.
No information, although I would say just remind you that the blast shields are closed.
Okay. I don't know if I want to open the blast shields. It sounds dangerous.
Might I suggest...
Hang on. I think if the only way we can figure out what's going on is by opening the blast shields, I'm going to give them an open. Leah's impulsive. Okay. It's what they do.
Which is easy to do. There's a button... you open the blast shields. As you open the blast shields, as they retract and these grand windows that look out into space are being shown, you're able, from your position, you're able to kind of be looking back along the ship, not so much forward. And as you're kind of looking back and up, you see the Montero attached by the umbilical, and there's some sort of deck plate has been blown off, and there's a gout of flame ejecting out, and it looks like there was an explosion. So things are getting even more dire aboard that ship.
Yes, as I did warn you, Captain, there was a fire on board the ship. I thought I'd managed to contain it as best I could, but, well, clearly we have to make the best we can of the situation on the Kronos. But I'm sure you're just the person for the job.
Leah doesn't say anything. They go over to the Pilot One bay and they just kind of like hulk the axe out of the deck there and then kind of look at John very appraisingly. And I say, there's a lot of fires happening around you, aren't there? I'll be keeping my eye on you.
I suppose you want to blame me for this one as well, he says, looking around the bridge.
Somehow I wouldn't be surprised if you could fucking time travel and had your little greasy paws all over it,
they say, and they kind of like clank the axe onto the floor next to them.
Right, well, there's a big old fucking explosion in the Montero, for reasons that we all know about. I think, as Cham said, our priorities have changed, and we just really need to get this ship fucking going.
Right, can you fly us away from it before the damn thing explodes?
I mean, I can, but...
Might it be worth considering cutting the umbilical to the Montero before then, so that if there are further explosions, they don't compromise the Kronos?
You volunteering, John?
I think he is.
Again, as I said, my skills do not lie in the technical...
Yeah, that may be true, but we're cleaning this damn scrubber shaft. It sounds like Leah's sorting out the navigation station. There's no one else.
I think you should pull your weight, John. You've done a lot of talking and not a lot of doing.
I am here to provide guidance and continuity and to ensure things run smoothly.
Oh my lord, will you stop with the business bullshit and just get into over to the umbilical cord and give it a good swipe?
I wouldn't know where to begin, Cham.
Or do you know how to cut a piece of paper? Do you know how to cut anything? Grab something sharp and use it.
I can't help but feel that you're being reductive here.
Leah swings the axe up into the hands
and do you know how to chop off someone's head? Get the fuck to it!
Well, if you think that it requires cutting and that it's going to require a bit of effort, why don't you give me the axe, as that seems like the perfect tool for cutting through that umbilical, Captain.
What a good idea, John. I was just about to proffer it to you.
And they switch it into one hand, but before they hand it over, they do take their gun out and just point it directly at John's head.
You've caused enough destruction today.
And yet you're asking me to cause more.
It would actually be useful for once. Right then, off you trot.
Captain, before I go, let's be clear about one thing. Your job at the moment is to get those samples back to Weyland-Yutani as quickly as possible. If Cham can get those scrubbers working, then that takes care of the problem of us not dying. The reactor is now online, so with any luck, that means we have propulsion. So your duties, as I see it, I don't want to again tell you your job, because as a professional, you'd know this already, but your duties are very much to get this vessel to Weyland Yutani as quickly as possible. If those samples on board are any form of biohazard, which it does appear that they are valuable, but they also present possibly an existential threat to us. And we are not going to be much use to Weyland Yutani or to each other if we're dead. So again, the sooner you get us to Weyland Yutani so we can safely deliver those samples, the better. But again, Captain, you're a professional. You know these things, don't you?
Yes, and from your going on for the last 2 minutes, you've already wasted more of my fucking time. They cock their gun. So get fucking going.
I'm glad we understand each other, Captain.
Yes, so glad. Bye-bye.
So Wilson has the axe and is turning to leave the bridge. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Wilson, as you turn and you face the door and the door cycles open, it opens up and there is a young woman standing right there in front of the door, who coincidentally was about to open it herself to come in. You see a young woman of Asian descent as she looks at you and her head kind of twitches and cocks to the side a bit. And she says,
I do not believe I am familiar with you. You're not crew of the Kronos, are you?
Ah, well, we are now. We're here to... we're here to help the existing crew with their functions. And who would you be?
Systems are coming online now. I am Ava 6.
Of course you are.
As she comes past Wilson and starts to look around the room, you can all see that she has a massive head wound to the back of her skull, and there's just white caked mass in her hair and down the back of her neck. We're going to pause there. All right. Lyran and Carl, you guys were asked to head to the air scrubbing shaft to get that cleaned. You're currently on deck C near the reactor control room. What do you want to do?
All right, Cham, have you still got that motion detector?
I do, yes.
Right, if you could pass it here. And I'm going to turn it on, see if I can detect any movement around the ship.
Go ahead and roll, I think it's a 5 charge, so roll 5 dice.
I got 1 success and 1 failure. I don't know which. Is it? It's just successes that's bad. I've got,
successes,
okay, I've got 1 success.
For usage rolls, the successes are inverted now, right? You know, that where they become bad because they're ticking down your air or your batteries. So in this case, make a note that your motion detector batteries are down to 4. Other than the two of you, you know, other than yourselves, there's no movement within its range.
Right. What do you think about these air scrubbers? Do you think it's worth actually doing?
Honestly, I don't even know if we've got enough time to sort these out before it starts being a problem for us, unless we can find a bit more air. Can't believe that fucking Montero's gone.
Do we have to clean every single air scrubber, or if we melted the water at the bottom, would the heat sort out the rest?
You would probably still need to put in a couple of hours of scrubbing, as well as, you know, the science. I mean, since you are a maintenance person, you've got to get it in there and clear out at least half of those scrubbers just to get it operational. Are you going to get it perfect? No. But can you get it so that it's breathable and, you know, you guys will only come back with maybe a few new allergies? Yes.
Right. I'm gonna go for the air scrubbers. I'll go for the one on deck B because the bridge is broken.
Right, I'll head up to deck A then. You said that the gantry's screwed on deck C. Oh, hang on, actually. It seems to be an air vent. Maybe I could sort of go around here and sort the deck C one out. That's right, isn't there? There's like an air vent that goes from just where we are in the reactor relay control to like the catwalk, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. That's a fantastic idea.
So I'm going to wrench the air vent off the wall and give Charm a salute and go and say, oh, by the way, you're going to reach out to Leah about...
Yeah, I was thinking about doing it on a secure channel, just so that, you know, John doesn't hear.
All right, take care of yourself and good luck.
Will do.
Crawl into the air vent.
Stay right. Safe. And if you see one of those things, don't stick around.
And I'm all right to shoot it, yeah?
To be fair, at the end of the day, if you want to shoot it in the face, just do it.
Okay, so if I heard that correct, Leia, you are taking the stairwell up to B deck, and Carl is wrenching the grate off the wall and is going to begin crawling through the air shaft that'll lead, and that's kind of going along the starboard side of the ship, and is going to go up to the catwalk. Do I have that correct?
Yeah.
All right. Lyran, you head up the stairwell and go to B, and you're going to start making your way towards the air shaft. Lights are beginning to come on, and as the air is starting to kind of warm up a bit, that mist, that fog that kind of was curling at, you know, the bottom 4 inches of the floor is starting to kind of evaporate as the ambient air is starting to warm up a bit, right? And you're getting a few more little pops of light are turning on, making it a little easier to start seeing. So it is kind of a little bit more calming, actually, to kind of see this. And actually, let's do this for everyone, because lighting is coming up and you're actually feeling better with less darkness around you. Everyone can reduce their stress by 1 point.
Nice.
Carl, you wrench the grate off the wall and start pushing your way into the crawl space, into this air vent. As you begin working your way towards the front of the ship, you're in a super tight, cramped area. Just your suit lighting is poking ahead, but you're not getting a good angle on it, so you're only able to see like 2 feet ahead of you as you're crawling through this. As you're going along, the inside of this air vent is all just kind of slick and crystallized as the air froze in here decades ago. But as you're moving forward, you see there's something wrong with the flooring ahead of you. And as you crawl upon it and get up to it, you can see that there's some kind of strange residue here in the air vent with you, and it's got a different texture than, you know, kind of like the aluminum, or I mispronounce that, aluminium of the air vent around you. And as your fingers reach forward and kind of grip on this thing and pry it up, this frozen piece comes up, and as you kind of turn it around and everything, it actually reminds you of a snake shedding its skin, as you can kind of see this impression of a bipedal creature that has sloughed off skin who knows how many decades ago. Carl will gain 1 stress for seeing that.
I've also just realized, I thought this was safe because it was like only on one level, but I've just realized that those dots on the map are probably where it goes up to the next level.
Technically, actually, those dots on the map are for game mechanics, so that in movement, that regulates how far you can go with one movement action. You can go up to that next point, and then
I was
going
to worry about like something dropping down and above.
But that's a fantastic idea. I think we'll incorporate that since you suggested that. So, yeah, as you get to each of those, there is ventilation, you know, that goes up above you and then down below you that you kind of have to span across as you continue to crawl.
Carl will sort of reach for his radio to communicate this, like, shedding skin effect, and then just think better of it. So, I don't think I need to stress anyone else out like this. And he'll cock his shotgun and then crawl on, sort of glancing up every time the shaft sort of opens up above him just to see if he is, there's anything sort of looming there, hiding there.
Awesome. So, Carl, you make it all the way to the point that you wanted to exit, and so as you kind of kick out that grate on the wall, it flops out, and then you're able to push yourself out of the air vent, and you are now on the catwalk that is at the we'll call it the north end of the ship. So you were able to crawl past and not have to endanger yourself with that broken catwalk that spans over deck D.
Are the lifts now running? Because when I get out, there will be like an elevator just next to me. Like, are they powered up?
They are not. There's not enough power yet to operate the lifts.
So Carl will sort of scan the deck C cargo, like across the catwalks towards the cargo office, and then he'll look down into deck D again to see if there's any signs of movement or anything that he needs to worry about before heading to the air scrubber shaft on his right.
Okay, are you using eyeballs or are you using motion detector?
I will use the motion detector.
Okay, give me a contact.
Oh, that's one success and one panic.
We're going to ignore that panic. You don't see any movement. There's nothing to kind of trigger trigger the willies right now. So you feel content that you are alone. Lyran, you ascended the stairwell, and you're now on deck B. And according to your suit, you can see that if you were to take the port side hallway, you can run that up to the air shaft. Do you want to do that, or do you want to make any side trips, anything like that?
I'll go towards the suits and get a new suit.
Okay. Yeah, there are spacesuits nearby, near like the showers and wardrobe area.
I'll go in one of those and grab a suit and then head to the air scrubber shaft.
Okay.
Just slowly taking off the one that's got no air and then putting the new one on. And yeah, I feel like I've changed outfit 3 times.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So because you want to change out of your suit like that, give me a stamina test, please. That's a strength skill.
Okay, so that is something that Lyran's actually good at. So 5 strength and 2 stamina. So 7 base dice. And then my 4 stress dice. Oh, good lord. 2 successes.
Right on. And a panic. So a panic. Roll again, 1d6.
Okay. 8.
So your nervous twitch has developed into a tremble.
Okay, just all over body.
Which is what you kind of had before, so your agility penalty of a -2, that does not compound, so you're not at a -4, you're still at a -2.
Okay.
As you were attempting to hold your breath, you were primarily successful in holding your breath as you changed suits into the new suit, but get a little anxious, a little bit too much victory, you know, celebrating as you were like, and taking a couple deep breaths as you were fitting the helmet on. And you were like, damn it, I shouldn't have done that. So you did take a couple of huffing breaths before you had the suit fully sealed. And so why don't we have one quick scene in the bridge with Leia and Wilson and Ava 6 before we call this to a close. So, Wilson, you opened up the door, and there's Ava 6, and she kind of let herself in. She's introduced herself, and she's here. She says,
I felt the ship shudder. Is there a fire? Is there some damage? What can I help with? Who is Captain?
I am Captain. Pleased to meet you. Captain Leia Davis.
And they extend a hand out to Ava 6 to shake.
And she reaches out to shake it as well. apparently her optics might not be completely calibrated because she has her hand only about 4 inches away off to the side from where your hand was, and so she's got it preferred and doesn't quite understand why she didn't match with you.
Leah just kind of moves the hand a bit and is like, all good. And this is my assistant, John John.
Yes, of course. So, Ava, could you perhaps give us a breakdown of what crew there is on board the Kronos and who is still alive?
Crew aboard Kronos is in Cryo Chamber 1. Crew includes Second Officer Albert Johns, Security Officer Reed, Medic Flynn, Dr. Cooper, and Madam Clayton.
Madam Clayton? What office does she hold on the ship?
She works for the company.
Oh, she's another one of you, John John. You'll get on famously.
Indeed. Are any of the surviving crew qualified pilots?
She's processing and she says, Acting Captain Johns can pilot the ship.
Oh, good. It's always nice to have some redundancy.
I think I'll swap you out for Madam Clayton. She sounds like a delight.
And then Ava Six says,
How may I help, Captain?
Well, I think we can have a look over this piloting deck. If you've got any tips for me, this ship is really fucking old.
And they're going to head over and say,
don't worry about touching any of the controls or anything. Just any information you can give me that might be useful. All right. Okay, John John. Off you go.
Oh, yes. Yes. I have matters to attend to, haven't I? See you soon, Captain Davis.
Yes, see you very, very soon.
So this will be a good spot. We'll bring this episode to a close as Leia is on the bridge with Ava 6, and they're going to review and check out the operations of the Pilot Station 2. John J. Wilson, axe in hand, is going to attempt to disconnect the umbilical that is connecting.
Oh, no, he's not. But we'll get to that next episode.
Under the assumption that Wilson is going to use the axe to disconnect the umbilical connecting the Montero and the Kronos, we have Lyran Cham is just changed into a new environmental suit, and they'll be able to breathe more clearly as they're going to crawl into the air shaft to do some maintenance there, required maintenance so people can breathe. Same for Carl Rye, who is down on C deck and is going to crawl into the air shaft to do some maintenance there. So a lot of work ahead of us to get this ship working, as there is literally a ticking time bomb connected to this ship. It's only a matter of time when that fire gets so bad that the engines will be threatened, and then it may go supernova. So we'll see.
Amazing. Thank you, everyone, for playing, and thank you, everyone, at home for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our return to Alien RPG. We'll be back very, very soon with the next episode. And I will say that episode is available right now on our Patreon, so please do check out patreon.com/HarryRollPodcast. And check out a whole load of cool stuff there. We'll do some quick sign-ups. My name is Joe Tre. You can find me on Twitter at JoeTheGM, and you can find the podcast at HWR Podcast. We have a Discord, which is very much the hub of our social media community, so please do check that out. There are links in the show notes. We have a Facebook page, a Reddit page, and you can contact the podcast directly at howwearepodcast@gmail.com. Scott, thank you so much for playing. Another delightful character. where can people find more of your stuff?
Well, thank you, Joe. Yes, if people want to speak to me, you can find me on the How We Roll Discord, where I'm Murder Grandpa. You can find me on Twitter, where I'm S. Dorwood. Or you could always listen to The Good Friends of Jackson Liars, which is the podcast I do with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, wherein we talk about Call of Cthulhu, horror films, weird fiction, and all sorts of other cool stuff.
Amazing. And of course, you can check out Scott, who GMs are Pulp Cthulhu and Call of Cthulhu campaigns.
Yes.
You can find them on the feed. Camille, again, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're not feeling too well tonight, so I really appreciate it. Where can people find more of you?
Yep, I've got to say my voice for Leah has been extra raspy because I'm currently getting over a chest infection. So obviously this was the ideal role to play. I don't know how I'm going to do for Jane Farewell, my other character, but we'll see. That's in our Pulp Cthulhu campaign. Just to, you know, name drop.
It's tomorrow as well, yeah.
Yeah, see how we go. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, I'm on the Discord at Camille B. I'm also on Twitter at Camille Brouard. I mostly just go on to retweet how we roll stuff and occasionally do a little tweet about it, but it's about it. But if you want to catch up with me, I'm on there. I've got various Instagram accounts I run for various hobbies as well. I always say, if you look up Camille Brouard on some kind of social media platform, if I'm on there, you'll find me. So.
And there is a link to your Twitter in the show notes, so yes. Do please check that out. Kat, again, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to plug, share, or mention?
Sure. I am Kat, and I stream artwork ever so often and also video games. I'm currently working through a horror game at the moment on my Twitch called At Dead of Night, and I think I have screamed about 12 times, 40 times. I keep dying. If you want to see that, head over to www.twitch.tv/CatherineJenkinsArt and come see me. I am on the Discord as well under the same name. I just lurk a lot.
Brilliant. And last but by no means least, thank you so much, John, for taking us through this. Where can people find more of you?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm having a blast. I am on Facebook. I'm on Discord under the very clever name of John Hook, so it's easy to find me. And of course, please check out my podcast, Modern Mythos, that I do with Seth Skorkowski, and where we talk about Call of Cthulhu and horror and investigative gaming. And check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Again, highly, highly recommended. And that is all from us. We'll be back very, very soon. As I did say, if you can't wait until the next episode drops on the main feed, please do check us out on patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast.